Hi everyone, a quick note before we begin today's show. Today's show was recorded using audio and video. So if you are listening to this on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or Google Play, and you'd like to watch today's episode, please visit our website at futuresradioshow.com.
Minisode 9, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudelli sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank all of our sponsors. CME Group and Trading Technologies. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. Without further ado, we have Morad here. Morad, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
First off, I want to thank you for doing this today. And how about that time we had last night at the TT meet and greet? I thought it was fantastic being able to speak with all the different traders here in Chicago. We actually had people come from Australia and different parts of the country. And you and I talked about it. It was really a great time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great group and a great party. It was great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And you and I, we've had conversations before. You've been on this show. And we really had a great response. And one of those responses was people were saying, Anthony, you know, I really liked how Morad had these key elements to successful trading. So let's start off with that, Morad. What are the key elements that make a successful trader?
So the first thing I want to cover, and my background is training prop traders. The first thing I want to cover is traders have to make a commitment to trading. You have to trade as a business. I see a lot of people get into trading as almost a hobby. The second part is to make sure that you're well capitalized. Coming in with a tiny bit of money, the leverage in futures it improves your results, but it also creates a lot of risk. And it's really important to make sure that you're capitalized enough that you can take advantage of the moves and have reasonable stops and targets when you trade. The third thing that's really important is a clear plan. And this is where most of the focus goes. Traders are chasing the next great indicator, the next, you know, winning plan or whatever. And it's really important to have your own personalized clear plan for how you want to trade. The other two parts are self-awareness. Not many people talk about this. You need to understand yourself as a trader. You need to make sure you understand your triggers, not losing your mind when you're in a bad trade, not changing your plan when you're in a bad trade. We all tend to get smarter in the middle of a trade, and it's not advisable. The last thing is grit. So when I look at a trader that I'm backing for a prop operation, for proprietary trading, I want somebody with grit. I want to see someone who has failed and stood up again. And grit requires discipline, right? So there's this factor of discipline. So a lot of that is psychology. And those are the, I think, five key things that need to come together to push you through the learning phase, the hard part of learning how to trade.
Now, you mentioned indicators. And I know a lot of you out there, you get your charts, you look at those charts, and you see all these indicators. And you're like, which indicator do I choose to use? I mean, there's thousands of them. And it seems so easy for you and I. We've developed our own indicators. We know exactly what we're looking for. But a lot of traders, they don't know that. And even if you're trying to get better, there's so many choices. So I want to begin by saying, what technical indicators do you use? And why did you choose to use them?
Okay. So I went through a lot of different indicators, you know, FIBs, and I've looked at RSIs and MACDs and so on. And everything works, but nothing works, depending on how you apply it. Indicators, you know, approaching the market, your indicators are kind of like ingredients for making a meal. You have to take and make it your own mix. So I can't talk badly about any indicator, but I can't praise any given indicator. For me, the most important thing is the auction. How is the market moving up and down to find the opposing participants? So the market moves down to find buyers. The market moves up to find sellers. Once it finds sellers, it stabilizes, it holds there in what looks like a flag pattern or whatever, and then we decide on the next move. So in order to assess the auction, for me, it's really important to look at the volume profile. And what we're doing here is we're looking at how much volume to the tick traded at each price. And once we determine what that is, we can see where the market's liking price, where the market's rejecting price. When there's very little volume in an area, that means nobody's interested. If there's a lot of volume in an area, that means there's market acceptance there, and those areas tend to be magnets.
So we have some charts here today. So why don't you show us some of the things that you are looking at on a daily basis?
Absolutely. So this is my standard S&P Minis screen. The left screen is what's called the trigger chart. This is a two-tick Renko chart. And the volume profile is this thing here, this profile that you're seeing here. And we're looking at today, which is Friday, the 28th of April here. And you can see that the market has traded quite a bit down at these prices. The 2381.50 or so has seen acceptance. So what this is saying is the market currently, given all of the information that's available that affect the S&P 500 stocks, we like this price. We're facilitating trade at this price. When the market starts to move up to areas where there's little volume, like this notch out here, it shows that the market has tested that area. It did back here and here, and it rejected a move higher. It found its sellers at this area, and it moved lower, and it made new lows. We're still trading inside of yesterday's range, and what this is doing is it's organizing the information in a way that tells me, hey, the market liked these prices or the market didn't like these prices, and on that basis, I can then decide what the extremes of moves will likely be. And so on. This is an indicator. It's not a trading system. Combined with that, I look at the delta, the volume delta, which is represented down here. I split the volume delta is basically a measure of the amount of contracts, the number of contracts that have traded on the offer. So it's what we call buying aggressors. Minus the number of contracts that have traded on the bid. And so what you're measuring there is how aggressive are the buyers at any given time, how aggressive are the sellers at any given time. And these two lines split those. The white line represents the big players in the market, the large lots in the market. The yellow line represents the small lots in the market. What this is saying is since this morning, it's the smaller lots that have been doing most of the selling. The larger lots have been bullish. They've been buying and early on. And then for the rest of the session, it's been pretty flat. Much of what this tells me is much of the session today has seen action from the smaller short-term trader as opposed to the larger lot. And the larger lot is what drives trends. Larger lots are institutions, large market makers, things like that. So today it tells me as the market's going lower, what this yellow line is telling me is the market's going lower, the larger players, the larger participants in the markets have been accumulating and standing by. They haven't been very active, but they are the ones that the small lots or the locals are selling to. And so right now I'm looking for a further move lower to retest. But I'm looking for this to go higher into the close. That's what this is telling me in this exact moment.
So at the beginning, you said a two-tick Renko chart. Explain to our listeners what that is.
So it draws a bar every two ticks, and it looks like a candlestick, but every two ticks, it draws a bar. And the reason is because my time frame is very short. I trade intraday, and it's very important to determine what your time frame is and not to mix ideas from a swing trader and carry them into a day trade and then the day trade and turn it into a swing trade when you're in a losing position. I see that a lot too. The two-tick Renko just shows me the details of the movement at a pretty granular level. So, and because I don't like using time, because you could use a one-minute bar to represent the same thing, but if the market doesn't move, I don't want it to keep drawing bars. It only draws bars when it moves that distance.
All right, great. Now, you had a few other things up there on the charts. Is there anything else that you'd like to show us that you were looking at?
Yeah, one of the things that I use, it's on the right here. It looks like a spaghetti factory chart over here. What I'm doing here is I'm taking the key sectors of the S&P 500, five key sectors. They're represented with these dashed lines. These are healthcare, the financials, techs, industrials, and consumer discretionary. And I'm monitoring how these sectors are moving versus the movement of the S&P 500 so I know which sector is leading or which sector is driving the market today. Today, financials are weak. I also have other commodities on here like the Russell 2000. So the small caps are pretty much by far the leader into selling today. I have the treasuries, gold, and everything else. I have the whole universe of the products that I'm monitoring on this chart, and it's zeroed out. So this chart is a percent chart, and it starts at 0% right at the open of the stock market, right at the 8:30 open Central Time, 9:30 Eastern. It starts at zero, and then from there, I'm able to detect what is driving the market today. If we see that crude, the black, this thick black line here, that's crude, right? It's an apropos color. If I see crude at the top of the chart and everything else kind of following along, I see that energies are the price of crude and energies are lifting the market with them. If I see that most of the equity index products are negative, are below zero, so if I zoom out here, so if we extend this, there's the black, this black line is the zero line, and I can see immediately that the treasury bonds are leading. They're up the most. I can see the euro is up there. I can see the gold is up there. I can see what we call safety instruments being positive and everything else that is a risk-based instrument being negative. And what this is saying is the market is moving to safety, therefore selling risk assets like stocks and are moving into treasuries. Not too aggressive, but that's what's happening currently. And when the turn comes, when we find a bottom and the turn comes, you'll see a reaction across this entire chart. And so I keep an eye on it on the side just to give me a big picture. There's a tendency in trading to get really stuck in your own little universe. And I like to keep an eye on what's going on and everything else that I may not be trading in the moment.
Okay, so it takes me to my next question. So you showed us all those markets that you're monitoring, and I really like that because I too watch that. I like to see, you know, what's leading the market to the upside or to the downside. As you said today, treasuries are the stronger part of the market, and then the weaker part was some of the financials and other things. So as a new trader, and even for an advanced trader like myself, let's start with the new trader. You open up your account. You really have so many choices to trade. And probably the most popular is always going to be the crude oil and the S&P because they're most recognizable. Everyone kind of knows what they are, and you can understand their movements. And you know, you get to the point where you find that market, you start to trade it, and then maybe you're not doing so well on it, or you know, maybe you are. But over time, how do you expand to other markets? Do you just trade one market? How do you know what markets you want to trade? So when you look at that chart that you had today, are you deciding maybe I'm going to trade the strong markets, the weak markets, or do you just trade one market and why?
So just an excellent question, really. I see folks who are losing consistently generally are trading 5-6 markets. They lose a little bit here, so they go to the Dow, and they lose there, so they go to crude. So they lose there, and they go to the S&P and then the NASDAQ. Yep. And soon the Russell when it's on the CME. I think you should master one product. I think that you should come in and just be a master. Think of a carpenter who just masters being a specific branch of carpentry. Once you're good at that, now you can take and use a bigger hammer and do something else. That's what I recommend. I recommend learning a product. Each product has a personality.
Yeah.
It's kind of like driving a car. You know, you can't race a car around the track until you've really understood how it handles, you know. And so, but I do look at various products. The main product I comment on generally in public is the S&P because it is just incredibly popular. It is the most traded product, I think, yep, in the world. But I also look at crude oil. I look at the NASDAQ quite a bit. But the S&P is a good product in that it provides a balance of an orderly, fair market with enough liquidity that you're not, when you make a mistake, it might cost you something. But products like crude or thin products, like the mid-caps or something like that, if you make a mistake and you freeze up, you could find yourself $500 down on one lots very, very quickly. So I suggest the ES, which is the symbol, the June contract currently, I suggest the ES just because it has a good balance between liquidity and enough movement. Although, you know, on a day like today, it's not moving very well, but it's not moving very far, but it's a good place to learn. And there are a lot of resources for the ES.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I know a lot of traders out there, like I said, veterans and new traders, when you jump around from market to market, they do have different personalities. They do have different tendencies. And I myself have gotten caught into that. And the hardest thing for me has always been when I've been primarily an S&P trader most of my life, is that when all of a sudden there's nothing to do in that market, you jump around, and that's when you tend to get caught. But I think great advice by Maura, and I think for everybody out there, an important thing to know is that find a market that fits your personality. And if you're going to be trading multiple markets, understand that market's movement before you're diving in. I mean, that's what I've learned in my experience is that as I've learned to expand to different markets, is that I have to still find them that are close to my personality and the type of strategy that I like to trade. So great answer there, Morad. Now, a question we get a lot here on Futures Radio Show is, Anthony, I follow a lot of these technical traders. And I see them also posting a lot of things about headlines and news. Are they trading that? You know, are they trading these headlines? Are they trading these news events that we are seeing, whether they're expected or unexpected? You know, because let's face it, these days, especially with social media, with President Trump putting a tweet out, the market's reacting to it. So how does that impact your technical strategy? Are you trading these news events? Is it changing what you're doing? Or are you just purely following the technicals and saying, I've got my bid and offer in, this is what I'm doing, and that's it?
For me personally, I know when the news releases are coming out, unless it is a President Trump tweet, which we cannot predict. But I know that we have Chicago PMI coming out today. If I'm in a position and I don't have enough cover, in other words, my entry is not far enough, or the market's not far enough for my entry, I tend to go flat and reassess after the news and just draw up a quick plan for what I expect to happen next and then trade based on that bias. I tend not to like holding things through the news. Now, something like the FOMC, those announcements tend to unfold in a relatively consistent way. There's a first shock, which only maybe the algos catch. Then there's a pullback, and now the market needs to decide, are we going up from here or down from here? I trade that third wave, that third move. Something similar for non-farm payrolls. And so I do trade the news. I trade them more in a scalping mentality because there's a lot of volatility there, and it's hard to tell how the market's going to respond and who's going to step in. But I do not recommend, unless you're seasoned, you're well capitalized, you have great discipline, it's not recommended that you trade the news. There's a significant amount of risk associated with that.
Yeah, so you mentioned you scalp it during those events, and that's something that I've done throughout my career. And that's a much more reactive type trading because you're a seasoned trader like myself, and we see movement, and we've seen things happen in the past. Like you mentioned, FOMC has kind of a certain feel to it. You know kind of how it's, you know, like you said, there's the third leg. There's the initial move, or the overreaction, we'll call it, and then maybe you have the press conference and something changes, and you see how that's kind of unfolding. At least you hope to. And I understand it. So do you just throw the technical kind of away at that moment, and it's all just kind of like feeling the tape, or are you still looking at technicals along the way?
The basis of my trades is absolutely technical. I don't use any what we call lagging indicators, like things that look at prior closes. There's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, what happens in the market after the news is described in the volume profile, and it shows me where prices were rejected, where prices are being accepted, and I'm always basing my trades on technicals. Even when I'm scalping in the direction of the technicals. If you don't, you lose your compass. I've done this before where within a minute I could lose thousands of dollars just getting lost somewhere. So the techs always drive what I'm doing. Ultimately, I always want to trade from my bias, my plan. And it's important to identify what that bias is in the morning. Be flexible, but identify what that is.
Great. We talked about some of these news events. Another question that we get a lot here at Features Radio Show is, do technical traders use fundamental analysis to back it up? Because there's this constant fight between fundamentals don't work, or the fundamental people say, well, why do you need to look at a chart, right? I'm someone who uses both. I like to use fundamental analysis. I like to see what the themes are in the market. I want to know, these macro moves, what's happening. Do you use any fundamental analysis?
So it's similar to the argument of why do you day trade versus swing trade. It's really a comfort thing. I believe to trade fundamentally, your time horizon has to be fairly large. If you believe that GDP is going to miss later in the year and you want to take a position now, you're dealing with a very wide stop and you need a $250,000, $500,000 account or whatever to withstand that. I use fundamentals in that I'm aware of them. I'm aware of what's going on with gold, the rally that we recently had into the French election, things like that. But it doesn't drive the very next trade. I want to know where the money's going all the time. There's a sticker on my monitor, on my main trading screen, and it says, where's risk going, on or off? That's the extent of it. So fundamentals, I always know what's coming, what news releases, what ranking they're in, how important they are. I don't want to sit there and trade technically through an FOMC announcement or a beige book or a non-farm payrolls. I want to know what fundamentals are coming and where they stack. But I will not take trades based on fundamentals because it's not my time horizon. You have to trade really long term for that.
Morad, fantastic stuff today. Thank you so much for coming
on
Futures Radio Show.
I appreciate
it. Was great to speak with you, and I look forward to having these conversations with you in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.